The Lord be with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer for Advent Sunday. So we want to say welcome to everybody here in the building. We want to say welcome to everybody who's joining us at home on the live stream and those who are tuning in on the dial-up service. We're delighted this morning in our service to be welcoming James Miles to share with us from Christians Against Poverty. James has been here before, and he's going to share a little bit about that important work that's going on right across the UK with Christians Against Poverty. Also wanted to mention some notices for the week that is to come. Our Advent worship continues this evening with our Advent Carol service. It's also going to be live streamed this evening, and we've encouraged people to book in for that service. I think there are still some places left, so if people wish to come to the Advent Carol service this evening, which will be by candlelight, you're very welcome to do that, and you just book in on the usual link, or if you speak to the wardens at the end, if you don't do that, they will help with that. Just also to mention, all our normal activities are happening during this coming week. So tomorrow the toddlers are meeting in the Boys' Brigade. On Tuesday, the Anchor Boys. Wednesday is the last night of our current Alpha course, but there'll be another course starting in January. And on Thursday of this week, there is no parish prayer meeting as we normally do over Zoom, but we begin the first of our midweek Advent services. And during our Advent services on Thursday nights, we've got some special guests coming to share about why faith is important to them. And we're delighted that our first guest on Thursday is a lady called Melanie Grimsley. And Melanie featured recently in a program with Stephen Nolan, and she shared with him why faith was important to her. And she has a story about faith through times of adversity. And so she's coming to share with us on Thursday evening at 7:30 in our short Advent service. Next Sunday, our services are morning prayer at 11 o'clock and evening prayer at 7. I'm going to ask Andy if he might light the first of the candles on our Advent wreath as we start in this season to consider all those who prepared the way for Jesus. So as we light the candles in our Advent wreath each year, we remember all the preparations which God our Father made for the coming of his Son into the world. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, and on that Sunday we remember how God spoke to Abraham, to Isaac, to Moses, and to David, and he told them of the Messiah who was to come. Abraham was promised that through his descendants all the world would be blessed. Isaac was told, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Moses looked forward to the one who'd be raised up to take his place as the leader of the people. And David knew that a king would follow him who would reign forever. So as the first candle is lit, we remember today Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and David. And just like them, we look forward to the coming Messiah. Amen. And so we're going to join together now to sing our opening hymn, "Hark, a Thrilling Voice is Sounding."
Thank you.
Our service this morning is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together today to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm for today's service is a psalm that speaks about the importance of trusting in the Lord and the importance of obedience to him. So we're going to stand together and say Psalm 25, verses 1 to 9 together. To you, O Lord, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame, but let the treacherous be shamed and frustrated. Make me to know your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you have I hoped all the day long. Remember, Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions, but think on me in your goodness, O Lord, according to your steadfast love. Gracious and upright is the Lord. Therefore shall he teach sinners in the way. He will guide the humble in doing right and teach his way to the lowly. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And if you'd like to be seated for our Old Testament reading.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, and starting at verse 14. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. And as we prepare to welcome the kingdom of the coming King, we're going to sing our next hymn. And during this hymn, the children will be leaving us for Sunday school and their teachers. And we wish them well as they go out this morning. We sing hymn 596, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. Second reading.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, starting at verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to feed his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. This is the word of the Lord.
Over the years, we've had quite a connection with the work of Christians Against Poverty here in St. Finian's. And when we hear the actual impact of the stories on people's lives, it touches something within us. So now we're going to just see a video as Hugh shares his story.
The day I received a phone call confirming I was debt-free was a day I thought would never happen. It was one of the greatest days of my life, to be honest. It had been 13, 14 years since I got myself into debt. 20 grand, I think it was. Debt's like, it's like depression. It weighs on you, it taunts you, it taints your mind, makes you think you're useless, pathetic. You know, how could you let this happen to yourself? What were you thinking? All these things I said in the mirror every day. And I was spending, or borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, basically. You know, it was just a vicious circle. It got out of control. Well, it got out of control 10 years ago. Now it was steamrolling, spiraling, roller coastering, at the edge, actually falling down the precipice out of control. It was bad. But you bury it, you know? You hide it away, you move house, you deny its existence. But they find you. The letters come. They always do. And it's like you're walking around with a neon sign on your back saying, Hi, I'm in debt, look at me, I'm a loser. And I knew something had to be done. I didn't know really what to do or how to even go about even beginning to go about getting rid of it. I just didn't have a clue. And then I met Max at church through CAP. We met up, had a coffee, and she explained to me, you know, what she did and how things worked. And at first I thought, it's a long shot, and I would have to file for bankruptcy or, you know, something I didn't really want to do. Plus, you're bearing everything, you know, you're letting people into your life and your faults, and it's intrusive and it's embarrassing. And I knew it was going to take a lot, and it was kind of daunting as well. But you know what? We had a couple of visits, and she explained how it worked. They got my stuff together. And I think what struck with me the most is that this was going to be put behind me, and I could move on and not wake up in the morning thinking, it was always there, it was always in your mind, it was always in your heart, it was always weighing on you. So anyway, we started out, I filled out the forms, I took the phone calls, I did the meetings, and things were going great. Everything was moving along, and then 9 months in, my circumstances changed. And I basically had to start again. And I had to do the phone calls, I had to do the forms, I had to do all of it again, and it was tough. So we did it, got all the old paperwork, did it all again, things moved forward, and lo and behold, my circumstances changed a third time. When I say circumstances, I mean my expenditure, my incomes and outcomes, what I was earning or what I was doing changed. And so I had to get done again. And it was frustrating, you know, taking 3 steps forward and 2 back, and it's, you're trudging along and you don't think you're getting anywhere, and it was tough. And I know why a lot of people don't go through with this and they don't follow it through, because it can be draining. But Mags and her team, they never give up, they never quit. They're always there, they're always telling you what needs to be done and helping you move along with it. So we did it again. And I would say 12 months maybe have passed, and I get the call saying that debt relief order had been accepted. And within about 3 weeks, I'd be debt free. And I was like, what? Really? Is that it? And they were like, yeah, no, you've done it. Yeah, it's done. And, you know, when I think back on it and I think how hard and stressful it was, how I felt that day I was debt free, I would have done it twice as hard. You know, you think it's hard at the time, but if I give anybody advice who's in the debt, just do it. And listen to Cap. They know what they're on about. They know what they're doing. Max and her team were amazing. I mean, absolutely, truly amazing. And I was worrying myself over nothing, if I was being honest. I was debt free. I didn't owe a single penny to anyone. So yeah, stick with it. You can do it too. Amen to that. I stare at the van at the end of the street as the man begins his rounds. I pray I get no news today, no letters that will hound. I feel the fear inside me swell like a volcano close to the fuel. The sweats, the shakes, that sickness inside as he strides towards my door. I look into my children's eyes. They know not what goes on. They just smile and play. The innocence of youth. But this battle can never be won. For every week they come and come, the numbers getting higher. It seems no matter what I do, I just can't put out this fire. It burns a hole inside my worth. A hole I cannot fill. What more can one parent do, I cry. What more can I fulfill? I've given up all I can. I've given up our heat. I cannot scrimp anymore. I can't walk to school bare feet. It's food or fuel. It's lights or clothes. I can't afford them all. And every step I make ahead soon ends with a fall. A fall behind in payments. A fall behind in rent. A fall behind in parenting. Dear Lord, help me, for I am spent. And in that moment, he did appear in the form of a friend. She came to knock upon my door, and with her some news to lend. News about a charity. Its name, CAP. Christians Against Poverty. I'm sure they couldn't help me. But help me they did. They took my hand and guided me through that hell and out into the sunlight, and with it, out my shell. A shell I'd hidden and crawled inside, my dark place that no one knew. But now my shell was broken and my life could start anew. My debts were found and gathered up, things put into place. My cash and life were organized. I had at last some space. We had food and heat, and the light stayed on. No more nights, little ones, wearing gloves. For Cap had not just shown me the way, they'd shown me God's true love. They showed me that no matter what we do, God will never leave our side, and He'll always see us through. He'll see us through the fire and pain. He'll see us through the night. For with him, all will be set free and darkness turn to light. I give thanks to you, Lord Jesus, for Cap and my friend back then. For now, my sweet dear children will never go hungry. Amen.
So as we reflect on Hugh's story, let's stand and affirm our faith in the God who rescues us and who believes in us, as we say together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for today, Advent Sunday. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light. Now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand together again as we sing, Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Thank you. If you'd like to take your seats. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity of coming and meeting in your name. And Lord, we just pray now as we look at your word, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts, that you'd give us understanding minds, that you'd open our eyes maybe to see you afresh. And Lord, that you'd open our hearts, Lord, just to receive this message, for we ask it in your holy name. Amen. Could I begin by thanking Jono for allowing me to come to see you this morning? It's a wee while since I've been able to get out with all the COVID restrictions. So it's lovely to be able to come and just update you on a wee bit of what's happening in CAP. I'd like to thank Heather Harmon as well. I'm not sure if Heather's out this morning, who's my CAP champion here. And I meet with her on a regular basis just to update her as well with what's going on in the CAP world, and for you as a church as well, for your encouragement. I know traditionally you've helped me pack hampers in your hall around about this time of the year, but the last couple of years, the COVID restrictions haven't allowed that, so I've been able to get money from folks. So some of you have donated to that, so I've been able to go and buy the food as well. My name's James Miles. I've been working for CAP for about 8 years now. I worked in the bank before that, and then I was able to leave the bank and go and work with CAP. Although I came from a financial background, what attracted me to CAP was my passion that God laid on my heart a number of years ago to be able to help people who are in need and people who maybe have no voice or no way of getting help, like Hugh, who you saw interviewed there. Hugh's one of our clients from the Coleraine Centre, and it was a very powerful story that he had to tell us this morning. Before we look at the passage, I just want to show you a couple of slides to give you a general idea of what CAP is on a more broader basis, and then we'll have a look at our passage. We basically have four services that we provide. There's the debt side of things. We also do CAP money, which I know you've run here on occasions, which is just helping people to manage their money better. It's a three-week course we run. For those who are unemployed, we run a job club as well, because very often the reason people are in debt is because they can't get work. So we run a job club at Willowfield on a Thursday morning from 10 to 12. And then there's a thing called life skills as well, which is basically for people who are on a low income, who maybe need help with budgeting, healthy eating, cooking, and just a healthy lifestyle as well. And I've been running that over the past 7 weeks, just finishing one this Tuesday morning. During lockdown, CAP had an opportunity to kind of just look at the work that they did and kind of rebrand themselves. And there's basically three areas now we're focusing in on. We're looking at transforming lives. That's the individual. People who ring for our helpline looking for help with their debt. We want their lives transformed, not only financially, but also spiritually as well. And we get the opportunity to talk to them about Jesus when we go in. And then moving out from that, we want churches to be thriving as well. We want to partner with churches like yourselves to enable you to do mission and to reach out to very often people who the church doesn't normally be able to reach out to through the services that we provide. We can link you in with people in this community who need help and who can benefit from what you offer as a church. And then on the big picture as well, we want to end UK poverty. Poverty is the reason CAP exists. And on a bigger scale, then we would lobby Parliament and we would go and speak up for people who have those issues and some of the policies that are in place that enable people who are poor to remain in poverty, and so that we can help to end UK poverty. So that's basically where we are. During lockdown as well, obviously because we weren't able to get out, we set up a thing called Kickstart, which were online sessions that we were able to sign up people for, to things like look at things like anxiety and worry, handling loss, breaking unhealthy habits, lifting financial pressures. And there are 9 different sessions which we offered, and they're open to all churches. They're free of charge, and you can run your own sessions, either 4, 5, 6, or all of them. And these 9 I ran back in March and during the summer as well, so we could keep in touch with people, because the issues didn't go away just because COVID closed things down and changed the way we had to do things. So Kickstart's still available for churches to use free of charge if you think that's something you would like. And the last slide is our Christmas appeal. I know some of you have already given, but we are trying to gather money together so we can buy the food and buy the gifts and give them money for fuel and electricity and so on during these difficult times. And there are four ways there that you can give towards our Christmas Appeal Fund. I think it's in your magazine as well, but if you need any more information on that, there's the information on the screen there. So I want to ask a question this morning. Did anybody here like spending money? I'm sure you all got your £100 card and you got very excited about what am I going to spend it on, £100 free money. Wonder if I asked you two, do you have enough money or would you like some more? Probably the answer again would be yeah. Everybody would always like more money. Is there anybody here saving for anything in particular? But it seems to be taking forever. I know when I was a child, our parents always encouraged us to save for things because you value them more whenever you pay for them, but it just seemed to take forever. That wee little bit of pocket money didn't seem to go very far. And in our Bible passage today, we have a story about a man who was just like I described. He liked spending money. He never had enough, and he was tired waiting until he did have enough. He had dreams of living an indulgent life, spend, and not thinking of the consequences. And he had a plan to get his hands on some extra funds with this lavish lifestyle that he envisaged, and that was his father. We call him the prodigal son. Well, have you ever thought, what is a prodigal? It actually has a very specific meaning. It's tending to spend or use something without thinking of the future. Tending to spend or use something without thinking about the future. This son knew that there would be money coming his way whenever his father died. We call it his inheritance. But he didn't want to wait. He wanted his share of his inheritance now. So he went to his father and he asked him for it. It was a very sad request because he basically said to his father, I wish you were dead so that I could have my inheritance. And his father reluctantly agreed, and off the son went and squandered his wealth in wild living. He was having a great time until the money ran out and all his new friends left him. What he couldn't anticipate was that there would be a famine in that place. Just as his money was running out, there was also a famine. He ended up penniless. He ended up homeless, resorting to eating food, being fed to pigs. Life was not looking good for this young man. It had not turned out as he had anticipated. I work for CAP, which helps a lot of people who have been prodigal sons and daughters. Maybe you know someone like that who just spends without any thought of the cost or the future. I see it regularly in my job. And there are many reasons why people get into debt. Some reasons we have no control over, like, for example, maybe the death of a main wage earner in the family. It may be unemployment. It may be illness which prevents you from working, while others are prodigal reasons, maybe overspending, self-indulgence, bad financial management, or maybe the result of an addiction. For the prodigal son, he didn't know a famine was about to hit the land, which made his situation worse, and it left him few options. And like Hugh in our video, he hit rock bottom. Now, CAP wasn't around in those days, but if it was, he could have sought help from us because we provide one-to-one, face-to-face service for anyone who rings our helpline looking for debt help. We don't judge. We don't condemn. We don't shame them. They've done enough of that themselves. But CAP, through the debt centres attached to a local church, doesn't just take the burden of debt off people, but it offers them Jesus as well. We praise the Lord that many respond to the gospel, over 1,000 each year throughout the UK. And it's our responsibility as the church to care for the weak, to care for the hungry, the despairing, and reach out a helping hand to support them through their time of trouble. Let's face it, anybody sitting in this church this morning could be next. But CAP is faith working itself out in action, as the Bible instructs us to do. We come aside these folk and encourage them. We love them and start to build their self-esteem by serving them and relieving them of the pressure debt has put on their lives. Those of you who have been in debt will know how all-consuming it is and leaves little room for anything else in your life. You heard Hugh's story when he went to sleep at night, it was dead was on his mind. When he woke the next morning, it was still there. What we do is we put a budget in place for these folk to live by. We contact our creditors for them, and we negotiate an affordable repayment plan. And it works. Someone once described CAP as being like the release of pressure from a pressure cooker. So who are these people? Well, new CAP clients are most likely to be in the 41 to 60 age group. Significant proportion are single adults or single parents. 83% fall into that category. For new CAP clients in 2020, the most common reason for debt was not surprisingly low income. People just didn't have enough money for their basic needs, never mind their wants or those little treats that we like to treat ourselves with every so often, which is so familiar in today's world. And that's why we give them through you at Christmas a significant Christmas pamper and some little extra treats as well. It shows them that somebody cares. CAP clients who have an income lower than the national average is 84%. Those who borrow money to pay off another bill or debt, 62%. Those who said that nobody to turn to when they had a problem, 58%. Those who'd considered or attempted suicide as a way out of debt, 28%. Those who said they had to go regularly without meals or heating, 37%. These are big percentages of what is normal life for many people. Some clients fall into more than one of these categories. Many have found themselves in dark, dark place before asking for help. I see it on my work in a regular basis and would love to be doing more. I was once sitting in a client's house and the lights went out. He explained that this is common. He couldn't afford to light his house, and he only put the lights on because I was coming. So I was able, with money that I'd been donated, to top up his electricity for him. Half of CAP clients, you know, wait over a year to seek help. And one in four wait over 3 years. People often say to me, you must be busy. You know, but these statistics are anything to go by. And if COVID-19 turns out to be one of the main causes of debt in 2020, then 2021 to 23 will be even busier. Can you imagine carrying a burden of debt for 3 years? The effect it would have on your health, on your relationships, on your life, on your lifestyle. More needs to be done to raise awareness of the free debt help that we provide. And you can do that by recommending CAP to anyone you hear of who's struggling. I've left some leaflets at the back there on the radiator if you want to lift one or two on your way out. And as we quietly get on with the ones and twos, who to the world are anonymous and insignificant, even a burden, we take the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with them in a practical way by recommending a pathway out of debt and walking with them until they become debt-free. COVID-19 has forced the church to reevaluate its purpose and means of being church. The days of packing them in are not returning anytime soon. We've had to get used to the one-on-one conversations at the door, on the phone, on social media. And it's no longer about the numbers, but it's about the individuals. CAP has always been about the individual and continues to work on that principle. CAP reaches into homes that the church has traditionally found it difficult to reach, because people have not seen the church as a place to find help with their specific debt needs. Instead, they've contacted organizations like CAP, unaware of the link between us and the local church, which is the base of every debt center. With the CAP centers being based in churches, there's a ready, loving community to feed these desperate, broken people into where, for some, they feel acceptance and love for the very first time. And it feels good. I would love to be feeding people in this church who are in this area who I'm working with. You know, the prodigal son, he took a chance by returning home to his father, who he had treated despicably because he'd nowhere else to turn. Just like the father welcomed his son back into the family with a feast and the best of everything, so we celebrate every client who turns to us for help and goes debt free, but also that makes a commitment to follow Jesus. It's a double whammy, free from debt, free from sin. What's not to celebrate? Makes it all worthwhile for me when I was able to support a client who went debt free just a couple of months ago after clearing £26,000 worth of debt in 2.5 years. He said he learned some lessons through the process and knows now about a God who loves him more than he ever imagined. If you want to know more, would like opportunities to serve through the work of CAP in this church, do please get in touch. I've left a little sign-up sheet in your pews there if you want to fill those in and get them back to me, then I'll follow those up. Some of the ways you can help is by giving financially to support the local CAP Centre, which relies on personal donations to function. You might want to give on a monthly basis. Again, I've left some standing orders at the back of the church. You can pray. There's a prayer letter goes out quarterly by email. There's one went out just a couple of days ago, if that's something you feel you could commit to. If you've time and a compassionate heart, maybe you'd like to become a befriender and accompany me out to some of the visits when restrictions allow. But just don't do nothing this morning. There are a lot of needy, painful, vulnerable people out there. Remember, 58% of our clients said they felt they had nowhere to turn to. Hugh was the same, as we heard his testimony this morning. 58% said they felt they had no one to turn to. The sad reality is that they do. You sitting here, this church, and in partnership with CAP services in this area, we can see them through financially and spiritually to a better life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you know everybody's situation. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, as we approach Christmas, Lord, that as we celebrate his birth, Lord, that we can look forward to his death as well, that significant death on the cross. And Lord, I do pray this morning that you'd open our eyes to see people the way you see them. Lord, we wouldn't walk past people in the street. We wouldn't ignore our friends or ignore those calls for help. But Lord, you'd help us to help others because of your love for them and your love for us. So do open opportunities for us this week. Lord, anybody who you've touched this morning and want to be involved in CAP, I pray, Lord, that they would act out on what you're doing in their lives. Lord, that we would see many more people become debt-free and we would see many more people coming to the kingdom. And Lord, we would see this church filled with needy, helpless people, Lord, because you love them and because this is a church where they'll find love and acceptance. We just pray these things in your name. Amen.
Let's continue in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do continue to pray for CAP. We thank you for their work, and we pray that more people will lift the phone and ask for help. There are lots of people with financial worries, and many CAP clients do wait for so long before seeking debt help. Pray that God would direct us to those who cannot afford to wait. We pray for the Willowfield Job Club, just on our doorstep. We pray for those involved in the Steps to Employment course, that they would attend and be successful in finding employment. We pray for their drop-in center, and we pray that more and more people would hear about it. And on this local level, we pray for the CAP staff. They're very busy, and just now they're fully booked. Thank you for James. Thank you for bringing him to us this morning and allowing him to share so boldly with us today. Help James to prioritize his time and balance his responsibilities. And help as they raise financing for local projects and help this be sustained over social distancing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the leadership of this country and of those in the EU. Men, women, and children have been lost as they attempted to travel to the UK in order to seek asylum. Heavenly Father, we pray
that our leadership would open their hearts and minds to these people. You are the God of the people of Israel who were homeless in the desert, and you are the God who demanded justice for the foreigners, the widows, and the orphans. Make this country a place where there's always room for love, compassion, and for those in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, there are reports of a new COVID variant originating in a continent which has not had access to vaccines like we have. We pray for wisdom among our leaders and for resilience among the population as we seek to meet this threat. We pray again for compassion for those who have gone without. And we pray this knowing that it is only through your compassion that we, among the wealthiest in the world, can enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, please be especially close to those who are sick and to those who have been bereaved at this time. We pray especially for the family of Gladys Walker, your faithful servant. Heavenly Father, we hold all these things before you as we continue with the words of the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We've been hearing this morning of how the local church can be a place of rescue and refuge for those who are going through the most difficult of times. But in our next hymn, we're going to hear of him who is the source of that rescue as we sing together Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
We bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, gladden your hearts, and scatter the darkness from before you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much to everybody for joining us at our service today, whether you're here in the building, whether you're at home. And as we pray for the coming week, we remind ourselves in our closing hymn, All My Hope on God Is Founded.